morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See, number 454, if you're following along in the hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing. Let us affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Let's see. A prayer request that we got earlier from Chevron when I was over there was to pray for our country. And I think that we understand, as we discussed at Chevron, that deception and lies and things such as that are the works of the enemy. And unfortunately, those who call themselves leaders in our country on all sides are well versed in deception and lies. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are as well. So let's pray that the truth and the light of Christ would come into our country, but also into the countries all over the world. We're not the only ones that have this problem. Everywhere that there are human beings, there's this problem. So, and other than that, I can't think of anything going on with me. Yes, I do remember. If you will, pray for Dave and Sharon, they've had a friend who recently passed, and so just pray for them and for the family as they mourn the loss of a friend. Yes, Keith. What is your mother-in-law's first name?
Doris Little.
Doris Little? Okay. Okay. We will keep her and Bamba in our prayers. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, ma'am. Okay. There we go. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We will pray for Charlotte. I'm going to embarrass Clayton. Clayton, will you share your praise that you shared with us earlier? Thank you, Clayton. When Clayton gave that praise this morning at Chevrant, it was right after the prayer request about division and all, and we felt like it was truly a God thing, because in Christ there is unity. We have our disagreements and such things, but it's really interesting. You can meet people from completely different countries, and once you know that you both follow Jesus, you have something in common and you have a starting point, and that's how it's supposed to be. So thank you for sharing that, Clayton. An update on Timber. She's still doing well. I can't remember if I told y'all, because I can't remember if it happened after last Sunday or not, but anyway, she has passed the 2-pound mark, which is wonderful. She's over 2 pounds now, and Ty texted me yesterday. He says she's doing really well. They're supposed to do surgery to reattach her intestines. She's having issues with that. But he said they weren't sure when they were going to do that just yet. But other than that, he said she's doing well, and they're doing well themselves. And they hope to make it back to church. They're having some issues with their car and stuff like that. So if you will, just keep them in your prayers and praise God for his continued healing for Miss Timber. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share? Yes, ma'am.
I just need to pray for me. I have these pain problems over and gone or something.
All right. We will pray for your pains. And I think we all have a few, so we'll just pray for everybody's while we're praying for yours, Pat. Does anyone else have any? Wanda, I know you're talking about me over there. You can't get rid of me, I'm sorry. So, well, if no one else has any requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. And Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you that you are a God who listens to us, a God who loves us, wants to be part of our lives, a God who seeks us. Lord, we ask that you be with all of those requests that were made today, that you would be with Doris and with Bamba as Doris tries to recover. May you bring comfort, healing, and strength. May you help Bamba to be able to be there for her mother, and may you also help Keith to be there for his mother-in-law and for his wife. Lord, we also pray for Pat and Carla, that you would be with them in the situations that they find themselves, that you would also be with Charlotte as she is having some medical issues. And we pray that you would be with her and with the doctors, with the nurses, and that you would provide healing and comfort and strength in that situation. We also pray for Sharon and Dave and for the family of their friend who they've lost. We ask that you would bring comfort and strength there, and that they would know that you mourn with them, that you are a God who cares deeply, and that though you have conquered death, we still experience it in some way. It is still in many ways a great unknown. But Lord, we trust that your conquering of death will meet its ultimate consummation. And as we wait for that glorious day, we know that you mourn with us whenever a life is lost. Lord, we pray for Pat and for the issues that she's having with pain, as well as other people who may be having trouble with various types of pain. May you bring healing, may you bring relief. Lord, in all things, help us to follow Christ. Help us to be light in darkness. Help us to be makers of peace. Our world is full of deceit, is full of lies, is full of darkness. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that we follow the light, and that no matter how dark things may be, the light always shines brightest in the darkness. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that we would hear your voice, that we would respond in a positive way, and that in all things we would follow Christ. We pray all these things in his beautiful and glorious name as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if our children would like to come forward at this time, we will have our children's time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So I have a question. Who here likes dessert? Anybody like dessert? Yeah? Maybe a few of you. Clayton might like a little bit of dessert, right? You got to watch Clayton at the lunches that we have because he eats all the dessert. Whose favorite dessert is something baked, like say a cake or cookies or pie?
Cake.
Cake, okay.
I like
cookie.
I like donuts.
Cake and donuts. And we got cake and we got cookies and all right. Well, I've got a question for you. Have you ever eaten ingredients of baked goods by themselves? Abel, you did. What did you eat by itself? Oh, you said no, you haven't ever. Have you ever eaten it, Liam? ingredients for baked goods, like, say, eggs, raw eggs. Eaten raw eggs before?
No.
Okay. What about vegetable oil? You ever eaten vegetable oil by itself?
No.
No. What about cocoa? You ever eaten just, like, cocoa powder by itself?
Yeah. Cookie dough count?
Well, cookie dough doesn't count because stuff's together, but stuff that makes cookie dough would count. Flour, you ever had flour all by itself?
Oh.
It all sounds pretty gross, doesn't it, to eat by itself? It sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? So, yeah, I can imagine. I've had a little bit of flour on my tongue, and it's gross. The thing about it is that sometimes things by themselves aren't very good, right? Sometimes they're kind of gross, and you have to mix them with things. This Sunday, one of our readings is from a section of Scripture called the Beatitudes, and that's where Jesus tells us different things about being a Christian. He says that we should be people who make peace. We should be people who are poor in spirit. We should be people who are humble. That's what poor in spirit kind of means. He says all these things, and by themselves, they're not necessarily bad. But when you put them all together, they become good things, right? And we extend that to the church. By ourselves, we might not always be able to accomplish things. Some of us might be a little grosser than others. You can be grosser, you're right. But when you come together, all of those things work together to make something beautiful. And that's why God wants the church to be a community. So, next time you eat a cake, think about the fact that ingredients by themselves are pretty nasty, but together they make a really delicious cake. All right?
Sometimes ingredients are like cinnamon, sugar.
Yeah, that's true. Some ingredients are okay by themselves, although I don't know that we should be eating too much sugar all at once.
Yeah. I'll eat a whole jar of sugar.
Okay.
I might eat a whole jar of cookies.
You might? I might eat a whole jar of cookies.
Me too. I can't. I get four chocolate. I always stick with sugar.
Okay. Well, make sure that you tell your papa to get you a big thing of sugar today so you can eat it.
Yum.
And just tell him you need a big bag of it, 2 to 5 pounds. That'll be plenty.
So.
Well, I couldn't hear you, Keith. It's time to say a prayer, so let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that apart, sometimes we're kind of gross, but together we make a beautiful creation. Lord, we thank you for these children. May you bless the children who are here, the ones who aren't able to be here, and all those that are represented by those who are here. May you bless all children everywhere, and may you help us to have childlike faith. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, y'all go get a bunch of sugar and go to Children's Church. If we could have our ushers come forward, at this time we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Micah hides here in the Minor Prophets. There we are. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Micah writes, "Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people. He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. All right, it's confession time. Who here is a person who lacks patience? Anybody lack patience? Anybody struggle with always being in a hurry? Yeah, some of us are already saying, "Lord have mercy, will it get over? I'm ready for lunch." Patience is a virtue, they say, right? And the reason it's a virtue is because nobody wants it, right? Nobody. Virtues are those things that we want everybody else to possess, but we don't actually want to possess ourselves, right? We want everyone to bow down to our whims. Patience, patience, patience. Our society hates patience, right? Think about ways that you've been in a hurry before. Well, we'll go with some ways that we don't think about normally, maybe. Anybody ever bought something to cook, and you get it home, and you look to see how long it takes, and you go, "Really, 5 minutes in the microwave? Really? I should have gotten a Hot Pocket. They only take 2 minutes in the microwave," right? Or you get a pizza, right, and you're thinking, this happened to us recently. Usually you get a pizza, a frozen pizza, and it takes 12 to 15 minutes. So we bought these pizzas. They looked really good. They were on sale. You know, preheat the oven, stick the pizza in. Of course, you gotta wait for the preheating, and the oven never preheats fast enough. Some of us probably just slide it in there and hope for the best. And then we got to looking at the box. You know how long this pizza took to cook? 30 minutes. 30 minutes. What? I could be done and doing something else, right? In 30 minutes. What? Never mind that pizza again, that's for sure. What about, here's one that I do this. I'll confess to you, I do this. We have a garage door. It's an automatic garage door opener. And we park my car in the garage because it's the newest of the cars. And don't worry, when Lynette's car was the newest, we parked hers in there too. Don't be like that. So, push the button, and our house is kind of on a hill, you know. Push the button, up you go. You get to the top of the hill and the garage door is still opening. And I say, I could have driven through the garage door by the time this thing gets up, right? It's too slow. Or let's say you get, you know, going down the road. Larry has complained about this before, but he's complained about it from the other point of view rather than the in a hurry point of view. But we're going to use Larry as our example because he's the problem in this example. Driving down the road, you're cruising along about 70, 75 and a 45, you know, a reasonable speed. Here's old Larry. And he's doing 45 miles an hour because that sign says for it. And you go, Grandpa, what are you doing? Get out of the road, Grandpa. You don't know how to drive. Get out of the way. Then, you know, you fly by, you blow your horn. You might say some words. Larry might say some words about you. And then you both realize you're going to the IGA or something. And then you all of a sudden are best friends and like nothing ever happened, right? You know, that's how that works too. You're in a hurry, right? Society is all about hurry. When I go and visit my mom, I go through Chattanooga, and there's signs outside of Chattanooga. It's actually kind of funny. You get to Chattanooga at the right time, and nothing's moving. But there's signs that tell you that they have really fast internet. You know, I forget what they call themselves. They have a name for themselves, like Fastanooga or something, you know, something catchy and cheesy like that, while the traffic's slow. But they're advertising, look at our internet, it's fast. And you know, you get to thinking to yourself, you know, sometimes whenever I'm on the internet, my internet takes a little bit of time. I bet if I moved to Chattanooga, it wouldn't take quite so much time. You know, and then you think about the logistics of moving and you say, well, never mind. But that thought comes in your head, right? We don't like being slow. Even Larry, who doesn't understand why we're blazing through Rockwood at 70 miles an hour, doesn't like to be slow, right? We don't like it. Slowness, it bothers us. Recently, I had a friend who posted a thing on Facebook with, you know, it seems like every day we have a new scandal or something, but he posted a thing where Harvey Weinstein, who is involved in a pretty serious trial and everything, he had been part of a lawsuit that's related to the trial. And his company and he had to pay, you know, X amount of dollars and all this kind of stuff and everything. And my friend says, oh, well, Bill Cosby does the same thing and he has to go to jail and this guy only has to pay money and both. And I said, well, now, wait a minute, hold on. Bill Cosby was tried and found guilty. Harvey Weinstein hasn't gone to trial yet, right? But we're impatient. And when we get impatient, we miss things. And we start to make accusations. We start to say, well, obviously, Harvey Weinstein doesn't have to go to jail because he's white, and Bill Cosby had to because he's black, right? That's what we do. We jump to conclusions. We don't get all of the information. And you know, the news plays on this. You ever seen a headline? You read the headline, you think, Lord have mercy, what in the world? This is the most ridiculous thing. And then if you actually click on the article and read it, you go, that's not what this thing's talking about at all. That headline is misleading, right? But a lot of us don't even get that far because the headline says it must be true. We get mad, everybody gets grumpy, you know, we have a big campaign and all that, and then we find out, oh wait, that's not what was going on at all. You know, that happened recently with the Methodist Church. We all know about the issues that are going on and General Conference coming up and everything, and not that long ago, the news reported the Methodist Church set to split. Or some of them even reported Methodist Church splits over this issue. We haven't split. We're still the United Methodist Church. General Conference is in May. I thought it was in March, so when I told you on March, forgive me. It's in May. General Conference is in May. And this particular thing is simply an idea that may not even make it to the floor of General Conference. But we don't want to wait for General Conference, right? That headline said it. We're going to split. Oh, woe is me, woe is me. We're going to split. And what winds up happening is this. We fill ourselves with this need for now, for right at this moment, and we start yelling and we stop listening and we start lamenting and we stop praying and we start cursing and we stop blessing. And what do people think that says about Christianity? We live in the Bible Belt, right? We're somewhat more immune to some of these trends and all than other parts of the country and the world. But we still see it, you know. Today, just going to churches, I saw plenty of people who are going to play golf and go to the lake, and some people have to go to work, you know, on Sundays. People cutting their grass and walking their dogs and all these things, you know. And there's different reasons why people don't come to church. I mean, you know, some of them are very valid reasons. Some of them, they go to different time services, stuff like that. But a number of people, in fact, the vast majority of people who don't go to church are not people who don't believe. They're actually people who still believe, but they've been hurt by church. And the reason they've been hurt by church is because the church doesn't like patience. Notice when Jesus calls his disciples. How does he call his disciples? Think about it. He sees a couple of them fishing in a boat. He says, hey guys, come follow me. They come follow him, right? He sees Levi, the tax collector. Scum, pure scum. We don't like Levi at all. He says, hey, Levi, come follow me. He tells Judas, who Scripture says he knows is going to betray him, Judas, come follow me. And oftentimes we focus, especially if we're reading in the Gospel of Mark, how it says, and immediately they dropped everything and came and followed him. And we say, yeah, that's right. Because we want speed, right? Come follow Jesus. But wait a minute. How long was Jesus with the disciples? 3.5 years. How long did it take the disciples to figure out what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus? 3.75 years. Because even with the resurrection, they still were kind of iffy. And when the Holy Spirit came, they were like, yeah. But then the book of Acts tells us that even after the Holy Spirit came, they still kind of hung out in Jerusalem. And God actually sent a localized persecution so they would get out and do what they're supposed to do. Jesus said, preach the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And they hung out in Jerusalem, you know. They didn't have YouTube back then, so they couldn't, you know, film themselves and send it out. They had to actually get outside of Jerusalem. Preach the gospel. That's how that works. But it took them all that time. And now here we are, 2,000-ish years later. Christianity is the number one religion in the world. And despite what some statisticians like to scare you with, it's the fastest growing religion in the world. A lot of statisticians will say that it's Islam. That's actually not true. In the global West, Islam is the fastest growing. But in the world, Christianity is the fastest growing. But we say, how long? Jesus is coming back. We've been saying it for 2,000 years. Is he ever going to get back, right? Did he get lost? What's going on with Jesus? Where is he? We lack patience. And yet, here in the book of the prophet Micah, what does Micah say God asks of us? He says, does God want really great sacrifices and all? Nope. It's not what God wants at all. He says, God wants you to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Walking, brothers and sisters, takes maturity. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter. She's been walking for about 2.5 of those years. And you know what happened immediately after she figured out how to walk? She started running. She absolutely did. Once she figured out how to stand up and move those feet, she started running, right? And it's like having a little Tasmanian devil running around your house, right? She's pointing this out, you're trying to deal with this, and here she goes over here, and you're just like, finally you have to tell her, Liliana, calm down for a minute because I don't even know what's going on. I'm not sure what day it is at the moment, because walking takes maturity. Kids want to know everything about everything. They're interested in all things at once. They don't know how to focus. Little kids can't be diagnosed with ADHD because there's no such thing for a little kid. They are naturally ADHD. It's not until they get a little bit older that you can diagnose such things. Because their brains work that way. They're learning everything. But as they learn and as they grow, they start to learn focus and discipline and slowness, right? Yesterday it was so cute. One of the bathrooms in our house, Liliana can't reach the sink. And so she always says, when she has to go to the restroom or something and she washes her hands, she lets you know, I need to wash my hands. Can you help me wash my hands? Well, yesterday she comes running out of this bathroom. Guess what? I can reach the sink. I washed my hands all by myself. She was so proud. I was proud of her too, She says, it's because I grew. She's maturing and she's starting to learn that things take time. But unfortunately, in our society, she's going to, if we're not careful, learn that things take time. That's what you need credit cards for. So things don't take as much time, right? That's what you need payday loans for. So things don't take as much time. But Micah says walk humbly. Notice he says walk. He doesn't say run. He doesn't say jump. He doesn't say skip. He doesn't say crawl. He says walk because he wants you to understand something. God is not constricted by time. God is eternal and time is just a concept to God. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. Time means nothing to God. God wants us to be patient because God is patient. I said earlier when Jesus called his disciples, he said, hey, come follow me, right? And they followed him. Notice he didn't say, hey, by the way, Levi, you're a pretty awful person. You need to make sure you repent, go take a couple sacrifices, get rid of all that stuff, and then come follow me, right? Notice to the fishermen, he didn't say, you guys kind of stink, you know, guys around fish smell pretty bad. You need to go take a bath, you know, brush your teeth a little bit, and then come follow me. He didn't say that. Jesus had women disciples, shock of all shocks, right? I'm going to tell you something. Women have more opportunity to be ceremonially unclean than men in Mosaic law. And you notice that Jesus didn't say, now go make sure that you're ceremonially clean and then follow me, right? He didn't say that. Because Jesus wants us to walk with him. We want people to come in the church clean. Jesus wants the church to go out into the dirt and plant and harvest. It really is that simple. Following Jesus means getting dirty. It means being with people that smell. It means being offended by things. But you know what Paul tells us? We love Jesus because Jesus loved us at our most offensive. Jesus looked at us, saw the absolute worst thing that we were capable of, and said, man, what a beautiful person. I sure do love them. Once we realize that Jesus loves us at our worst, it's really not that difficult to love other people at their worst. Amen. As we celebrate Holy Communion, let us remember that the church is made up of rich and poor, men and women, slave and free, smelly and clean, drug addicts, and people who have never touched the stuff. The kingdom of God is made up of broken humanity that has found the only way to be fixed is through Christ. And we celebrate his sacrifice with Holy Communion. We will be reading from number 12 in the United Methodist hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment of silent reflection to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If I could have my helpers come.